This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Live inside the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Quick reminder, guys, join our midday show. Rick and John are going to be out broadcasting live at Twin Peaks tomorrow. Stop by Twin Peaks Bughead and hang out with 92.9 The Game. They'll be out there from 10 until 2 p.m. Go by, grab some lunch, maybe a cold brew. Maybe your weekend gets started a little bit early. I was just telling Mike, and you're in here tweeting, which is might be an issue, and I want to know who you're tweeting to.
I just tweeted the MLS commissioner to get the VAR in gear. Back to you, Carl.
Okay. You didn't say anything bad, did you?
I just said, hey, commish, let's get VAR together. And the refs are becoming too big a part of the storyline. I just kept it above board.
No mother blankers or anything like that?
No, I didn't cuss unless you want me to.
No, I don't.
Unless you think
that
I'll get a quicker result.
Yeah, it was Mike's burner account. It's coming from his burner account.
Yeah, it's, Mike Bell's a genius.
No, I just saw this video, and I hadn't seen this. Joel Embiid, he's apparently like talking trash to some guys in the park in Philly, like near Whole Foods. And he dunks on this guy. Like, two guys are out shooting baskets. Like, you and me outside shooting baskets.
Right.
Joel Embiid walks up. He's like, yo, I want to play. Okay, come on, Joel. So he's playing this guy one-on-one. He's dribbling between his legs. He's talking to him. And all of a sudden, he just backs the guy down. He's 7 foot something. And dunks on this guy and then walks off. Like, his boy grabs his bag and they walk off. And I'm thinking to myself, why did you do that against the Celtics, Playboy?
Yeah, I mean, you're basically taking out an average Joes and Schmoes. Jim Rome, actually, one of the more entertaining CBS sportsmen we've heard recently, talked about it yesterday. I mean, seriously, you're just going to start randomly going and showing up and dunking on guys.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be like Serena showing up at some tennis tournament at Alta. Like, oh, no, pow! And she says like 100-mile-an-hour serve at Polly Pepper Pot.
Yeah, you guys playing tennis, you don't mind if I jump in, do you? So anyways,
Who's your partner? It's Rafael Nadal. Ah, not my face.
I just retweeted it. But I will say something about this. There's something cool about this from the standpoint of, you know, this is what you would hope from a lot of these guys. If they go to the park,
right,
you know, you get a chance, a once-in-a-lifetime chance to play with some of these guys. But it's ridiculous. Anyways, man, we're going to get to the Falcons coming up. Braves back in action tonight. We're going to get a chance to talk to our man Brian Jordan from Fox Sports South. He's going to join us at 4:40 to talk about this series with the Nationals. They're playing pretty well as of late. And I said, this is a series that I'm paying a lot of attention to. They come in half game in front of the Braves after the loss last night. But they are missing some key guys, man. And we'll talk to Brian about this. Ryan Zimmerman, Daniel Murphy, Adam Eaton, they're all out. Max Scherzer won't pitch in this series.
Right.
So you got some things to look forward to. But they do have that kid. His name is, Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, and we mentioned it earlier. You are only a half game out, and the Braves have had an amazing run. But let's not let this thing get away from us either. Our goal and our dream is that we can actually be in a pennant race. But that starts by taking care of business and getting back on track against the Nats.
I want Bryce Harper.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I want it.
There's only like three teams that could afford him, realistically. And technically, actually, if you really just looked at sheer numbers and the absolute if you ever looked at it's magnificent, the growth and the wealth of Liberty Media. It's all over the map. They bought Formula One. They've actually got some good ideas about Formula One. There's even some rumors they might buy NASCAR if NASCAR would be interested. But
well, then they got the money. What are you saying?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying.
They've got the money.
Yes, but that wouldn't – again, the Irish Sphinx, Terry McGuirk, would have to get it off his butt
forget about
to Maffey and then say, hey, can we throw some money around?
You add Bryce Harper – we're going to talk more about this. You add Bryce Harper to what we currently have in Acuna and into our –
yes, it would be awesome.
Best outfield in the league, in Major League Baseball.
Some would say, as much as that makes sense, we'd probably have to go invest in pitching if these pitchers we picked up don't pan out.
They got the money.
All right, let's get to a blitz.
All right.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, I'm going to read this verbatim, and I want you to tell me what you think about this as we talk about the Falcons. OTAs continue this week, by the way. No, Julio's not there. Running back Tevin Coleman telling the media, and he spoke with the media yesterday. Now, Coleman was in on over 41% of the snaps in 2017. He touched the ball 183 times. Sounds like a lot. It really wasn't. 927 yards, 8 touchdowns in 15 games. Listen, Coleman was very productive. But Mike and I have said this. He could be a lot more productive if you get him in space in open situations. So Coleman says, quote, they are going to use me more. Lining up out wide and stuff, it's going to be pretty fun. What do you take of that?
Well, that's pretty cool. I mean, we got a lot of weapons out there. And you've always asked on this show, and I know a lot of Falcon fans said the same thing, they'd like to see more of Coleman and Free out there at the same time, provided somebody can, you know, sit back and help protect if the offensive line can't do the job. But that's a lot of weapons coming down the field for a defensive coordinator to have to deal with, isn't it?
It really is. And we were out in the bullpen talking about this. We all go back to 2 years ago, the year we made our Super Bowl run. We go out to Denver, and everybody's, you know, going nuts. Oh, we can't handle the pass rush. Von Miller's going to kill us.
Right.
Coleman goes off. He had over 100-some-odd yards. We're talking with John Michaels about this.
We really couldn't run the ball, truth be told, in that game, but we're able to get those guys out in space, and the rest is history.
And the point was, you realize it in that game, if you hadn't realized it already, that's how you use this guy. That's what we should be doing. Now, again, the game plan kind of dictated that we use him that way. But even in the game, we talked about it yesterday, that last drive with the Eagles, that's kind of what was going on with Matt. 1-2-3, get it out of Matt's hands and get it to those playmakers. I'm hoping Coleman has a bigger season. This is not to take away what Freeman does, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Freeman can be free, but Coleman can do some things as well. And I'd like to see them do a lot more with Coleman. I love this. And if this is true, Sark, I hope it is. Let's use him more. Let's line him up out wide and stuff.
It is interesting. He's going into a final year of a contract, by the way, is Tevin Coleman. So if something happens.
You know, oh, you mean it's a contract year.
You know what I'm just saying? But knock wood, you don't want to hope that nothing happens to Free. But you still have the ability to make an offer for Coleman. Now, Thomas Dimitroff did say at the end of the season press conference he thought there was a way it would be feasible to keep both. Most people thought that was a bit pie in the sky because how do we do that and maintain, you know, everything else we got to handle, including Jake Matthews' deal. And now maybe, we didn't even know that Julio was going to want more money, if he does. We don't know for sure. But we've also got to sign all those defensive players. I'd love to have both these guys in Falcon uniforms. Just don't know if it's financially feasible. But one thing for certain, if it is his last year, they're going to maximize Coleman's talent, if you believe what you read here and hear from Dan Quinn.
No, oh, and he's playing for something. That's the other thing. I mean, every time he touches the rock. Hey, Matt Ryan got a chance to see Mike Mularkey, by the way. He did mention, for those who are not familiar, Mike Mularkey, one of the coordinators that helped Matt when he was a young buck here. Matt mentioned it and talked about Mularkey.
Certainly probably one of the most detailed people I've ever been around. Incredibly organized, really good coach, really good teacher. Really helped me develop early in my career. So it was great to see him today.
And we know that the from the offensive standpoint, you know, Sark is getting a little help. And we've talked about it. Mike, you wrote a piece a few months ago saying it may be the biggest move this offseason outside of the players we signed.
And this was a guy I thought, even though it's a different style of offense, and Mularkey's more recently, and certainly what he was doing up in Nashville with the Titans, it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Wants to use more 2 tight end sets. But I thought it might not be a bad piece of brain power to bring into the equation. But when Mularkey, remember, he was here for the 2010 run when Matt, we lost to the Packers in the playoffs that year. But it wasn't just all simple, you know, basic stuff. We expanded that run game. Of course, the addition of Julio Jones also helped that. But Mularkey's a guy that, you know, I wouldn't mind having him around, put it that way.
Yeah. Listen, the more, the merrier, in my opinion. I have no issues with experienced guys who've done it, okay? No disrespect to Sark. We said this. Shanahan had called 10 years in this league when he got here. Not the case for Sarkisian. That's not to say he won't be a great coordinator, but I'd love to have more eyes of guys who have done it. With that said, Matt Ryan asked the question about guys being at OTAs.
We're fine. You know, I think we're in a good spot, and we'll get some good work before the season starts, like we always do. We spend time together, and, you know, we'll be ready to go when July comes up.
And then he said, next question! No, he really didn't say that. He's talking about Julio right there.
Where is Julio?
Great question. It really is. It's a great question.
I mean, again, doesn't have to be. Look, guys, just because everybody else is there, even the guys that are injured, you don't have to be there. These OTAs are meaningless. I'm over it now. I've completely turned the corner on this.
Yeah, I want to read a tweet to me today. It was kind of funny.
And by the way, Squid was in my ear earlier reminding me that Mularkey, part of the reason he got shipped off and Dirk Cutter came in was because he wasn't maximizing Julio, who Thomas went and moved up to get in that 2011 season.
Yeah.
Julio also had a lot of drops that year, which people forget.
That's true. Guy hit me up named Josh. He's a listener and follower of the show. And he was like, should the people in Pittsburgh be panicking about the fact that Big Ben is not at OTAs? Here's the irony. OTAs, for Big Ben, he called out Le'Veon Bell for not being there. Now, he's not there. That's neither here nor there. And my response was, Mike, no, they shouldn't, because they didn't have 30 drops. They didn't average 10 points less on offense like we did this year. They had no issues of scoring in the red zone. There are reasons why people in Pittsburgh are not worried like we are based on the results of what we got last year. I mean, it's funny. It's like, well, this happening everywhere else. I don't care about everywhere else. I only care about the Falcons.
Yeah, and that thing is, because this is our window, guys. I mean, whatever you think this team is going to do this year or next year, I mean, we've got a finite amount of time while you got everybody in place before the contracts come up, because not everybody will be retained. You just don't have enough money to keep everybody. So this is why we kind of harp on this. We want to maximize the talent. So when you know the offense went backwards last year in every category statistically, you'd think that everybody would be all hands on deck in this offseason. Not the case right now. It will be in June when you have the mandatory camp, and there's no indication that Julio will miss any of that. He'll be here. Right?
All the reps he's missing, though. Let's hear from Dan Quinn on Calvin Ridley thus far.
I'd say probably the thing that that certainly jumps out is his ability to get off the line of scrimmage. It's his ability to, you know, create separation on a defender and go. So this time of year, you don't see, you know, a good bit of bump and run, but you do see guys playing at the line of scrimmage. So I'd say those are the things I've seen. He's got a very high football IQ for sure. We've thrown a lot at him. He's able to handle that.
You know, I think it was It was Taylor Gabriel a couple of years ago when we asked Taylor when he got here. It was like, yeah, what do you bring to the team? The speed. I got to tell you guys, and we hadn't seen him in drills yet, up close and personal, which, you know, will happen here when we get to training camp. There's some big play explosiveness with Calvin Ridley. And I think, you know, if you're an Alabama fan, you kind of took it for granted, Mike, because they didn't do it all the time. You know, that wasn't their M.O. Calvin Ridley was almost like, okay, that's plan B. We're going to run the ball down your throat, and we're going to play, you know, tough defense, and then we'll hit one over the top every now and then. But he's got some explosiveness to him.
You could argue his brother actually had some more explosive plays at times for Georgia last year. But, I mean, we got him. He's going to be a weapon. Yeah, if you missed the beginning of this conversation in our blitz, we're hearing that, and Tevin Coleman has been told by the coach, because he's telling the media, he's going to be a bigger part of the passing game. So we should be scoring more points this year if the offensive line with Fusco holds up, right?
Right. Let's hope so. Dan Quinn, DQ, what are your thoughts on T-Mac, not Tracy McGrady, Terrell McClain, our new defensive tackle?
One of the nice parts about a T-Mac, you know, he's got real familiarity playing in a four down front. And so he's got versatility in Washington. He was part of a three-man front. And so for him to get back into a four-man front, that's really where his comfort zone lies. But what I've been most impressed on him, he's got very good, you know, football smarts, knowledge. He is really strong. You know, you saw that right away in the weight room. So from a conditioning standpoint, he's putting the work in. You can tell he's a real pro and a guy who certainly fits in well with our group. You can see a, you know, good connection with him and Grady so far. And that's important, teammate to teammate, you know, as we're going. So we're real glad he's here and part of our brotherhood.
Cool.
You said it yesterday. I mean, an area where we were a little worried about what's going to happen, replacing Don Terry Poe, who went up to Carolina. That, and by the way, Deidre Sinnott, you know he's never going to give you those reps. But everything we're hearing from all the players so far in interviews, they love the guy, love the size, love the attitude. We know he's got a hell of a work ethic from his time at USF. So, I mean, yeah, D-tackle's fine. You brought up the possibility yesterday of being a little thin at the linebacker core.
It's a little concern. I don't know if Dan Quinn is necessarily concerned about it. But when you look at the depth chart, you go, wow, the starters are really good. Then you look at the backups and you go, okay. Now, I know this is the NFL. You're not going to have stars everywhere. But I just think that might be a little bit concerning. And we'll see what they do, if they bring in another veteran guy or not. But maybe they like the young studs they have, Mike, and they feel a lot better about them than we do. But listen, if we lose Debo, God forbid, that's a problem for any team, right? Luke Kuechly goes out for Carolina, it's a problem. Hey, last but not least, we're going to give you an opportunity to win some money. Apparently, the lawyer for Colin Kaepernick, and I'm just telling you about this story because we're watching it. His name is Mark Garrigos. And he says that there could be a star witness to come out to basically say that the NFL is lying. And he says he would not offer specifics, Mike, but he says that somebody could be coming out here, and apparently they obviously have somebody that they've spoken with that's really ready to go on the record, that will say, as the NFL basically has said, each individual team decides if a guy can help us.
Right.
There is no collusion, okay? If I think this guy can help us, I'll hire him. If not, I'm not. Kaepernick's, you know, camp believes that the entire NFL, specifically the ownerships, were like, nobody hire this guy regardless of need. And if they can prove that, That's a big deal.
Well, here's the thing. I do think that a lawyer in a courtroom would say, you know what? NFL personnel men have a right and a history to make idiots of themselves. They've hired guys who aren't the best. Otherwise, their team would have a Super Bowl trophy. So, I mean, you get, as a talent evaluator, you might think the guy's lying and saying, come on, dude, we know what this is all about. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. The guy can say, well, you know what? From my estimation as a professional talent evaluator, he doesn't fit. It's an easy out.
It is.
I mean, and it's all.
It's hard to prove. It really is.
And I know that the Ravens, look, they were on the hook with Kaepernick, and then Kaepernick's girlfriend made some comments about Ray Lewis, and then Steve Bisciotti got all up, you know, well, gave the Heisman to that one. So, I mean, it's not all been about these owners. I mean, there's been some stuff that's been self-inflicted in the Kaepernick camp.
If you've got somebody, though, in the league office that can come out and is willing to go on the record, or coaching staff or personnel department guy who will come out and say, yeah, we were told by the owners not to hire this guy.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
But I mean, but it's okay. So two teams. What do you need for collusion? Just two.
Two.
I mean, because certainly the rest of the NFL looked at it, and we've talked about the, you know, the tomato cans that are wearing baseball hats on the sidelines. There's a bunch of guys that Kaepernick would, you know, those guys couldn't handle his jock. We well know what this is about, but good luck proving it.
Let's give you a chance to win some dough.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
candy. You remember that song by Cameo? Candy? Wasn't it candy?
Candy.
C-A-N-D-Y. C-A-N-D-Y. That's the word. Text it right now to 72881. You remember that song?
Well, no, I was watching VH1 Classic. I actually DVR some of that stuff. What was with, like, that plastic cod piece the guy was wearing outside his leather
pants? Was that the guy with the – he had, like, a mohawk?
No, it was a flat top.
No, that's right. That's right.
The word up. Anyway, different video, but candy is the word.
Word up.
Candy, guys. C-A-N-D-Y.
Why do you speak like that, by the way?
Candy. Goes to seven. It's kind of like Sammy Davis Jr. on steroids.
Word up.
Again, guys, it's candy to 72881. You text it right now. Don't text and drive. And a standard texting message rates do apply, but good luck in the $1,000 national signing bonus.
By the way, this was hot back then, okay? Hey, we're coming back. We're going to get you ready for the NBA Finals. You mentioned Tyronn Lue and anxiety. We'll get into that. What LeBron has to say about Golden State. And Steph Curry speaks as well. It's next on Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. What's going to happen tonight, Game 1 NBA Finals? It's a rhetorical question. Some of you guys are like, what you think going to happen, Dukes?
Well, Kevin Love is going to play. He is cleared after their version, the NBA's version of the concussion protocol. So we got the O-Tay from the doctors and LeBron and company. I mean, you could argue house money. Does that give? I mean, I don't think LeBron at this stage, he's played on this stage 7 years in a row. But I mean, loosey-goosey, the mindset of the Cavs going into this?
I'm not going to tell you that he doesn't want to win. That's foolish. I would tell you that the feat of getting to these NBA finals is really what this has been about. I mean, you know, in this interview with Rachel Nichols, he talks about the fact that he had to do some self-motivating when they went through a stretch, and we forget how bad this Cavaliers team was, why they made the deals. So you go back to January, okay? The Cavs lost 9 of 12 games, and there was a stretch where they had a 28-point loss against Minnesota, a 34-point loss against Toronto, which is why everybody was on Toronto thinking they were going to be the team to beat in the East. And then they had a blowout loss where they gave up 148 points to Oklahoma City. And LeBron says that was all during a 9-day span. And LeBron basically says during that stretch, there were times I struggled with motivational issues, realizing I might not make it to the postseason. So then they make the changes. And this, to me, is why this is an incredible feat for what he's accomplished this year, is you basically change out half the squad. And I said this. It was like going down to the local YMCA and going, hey, man, you want to play?
Right.
We'll go ahead. You 6'8"? Okay, I'll take you too. You rebound? And literally throwing a bunch of guys together, they get off to a good start, and you're going, wow, what's this going to be?
They played some big games against some big opponents, national TV games early with those guys.
But, Mike, we said this on this show. Can they win in the playoffs? Any given night in the NBA, you run through a city, you might catch somebody who's tired. You know, they had a bad night, they went out, whatever. But in the playoffs, the best of seven, that was the thing. And so to be here in the finals, I think it's an amazing feat. So to answer your question, yes, you're playing with house money.
I mean, remember Larry Nance Jr. seemed like a nice fit. But still, you still got J.R. Smith, who now at this stage of his career is literally a coin flip, what you're going to get. Right? Would you agree with me on that one? Kyle Korver, good friend of ours. We love Kyle. I know he's had a tough year, lost his brother. Kyle's been really inconsistent with a three-point shot and some big moments in the playoffs, too. So, I mean,
and by the way, those two guys are key. because it will open up the floor for LeBron to do what he needs to do if Korver and Smith are hitting their shots. It's very similar to what Golden State does, except they, you know, that their shooters are more accurate. At least they have been in these playoffs. Klay, I'm not leaving him open. Klay is just playing out of his mind right now. And, you know, you've got Curry and Durant, obviously, but you're right. Those two guys, I think, are huge. And then I said it. If Kevin Love has – and he's playing tonight, by the way. He's been cleared to play. If Kevin Love has 10 points tonight, they're losing.
It's almost like when you come up with a number, you need like 60 points. If LeBron scores 44, okay, then I need 16 from somebody. It's almost like you need LeBron dot, dot, dot. But if him and Kevin Love could – you could give me – I don't expect – it's like Horford. You don't expect them to do, you know, 17 or 18 or 25 every night. But, you know, Kevin Love's got to be more than a cigar store Indian. He's got to be a big part of the half-court offense.
Yeah, and some of you are saying they're losing anyway, and they might. But if they really have a chance, Love's got to be a stud in this series.
Now, the other story is, and you and I were talking about this earlier, is the coach of the Cavs, Tyronn Lue. And look, we've had some – we're not the only guys in sports talk radio that are going, yeah, coach – come on, it's Coach LeBron. But Tyronn Lue's been in a very unenviable position because, you know, how it's – remember Blatt?
Yeah, Blatt called a play.
I squashed it.
That's right.
A couple of years back. But one thing that comes out, amongst other things, in this season, very tumultuous season in the Cavs, we just talked about they turned over the roster, is that Tyronn Lue has had some deals, deals with anxiety. And I've never had to deal with it, so I don't know. And you talked about it earlier. So this is something, in addition to being an NBA head coach, how do you deal with that and that pressure?
You feel like everything's caving in on you. And when I say that, it's obviously more of a mental state. This happened to me a couple of different times in my life, most recently when my father passed away. And you're dealing with all these things, but you feel like there's no out, okay? And if you've dealt with this, you understand what I'm talking about. And it can really get down. It can bring you down to a dark place if you allow it, because you start to believe the non-reality. Right. And I think that's kind of what was going on with Tyronn Lue, which is why he took a 2-month, you know, leave of absence. So for people who've dealt with this, it's real. You know, again, I wouldn't wish this upon anybody, because depending on your state, for some people it's very minimal. But for others, like if you're taking off work and you're having to be away, mm-hmm. and you're dealing with maybe medications and whatnot to bring yourself back, it's a big deal. So I can relate to it. It wasn't that bad for me, but I can certainly relate to it.
Because don't forget, guys, walk it back a little bit. Remember that that break where we thought the Cavs might trade Kevin Love for the trade deadline? Kevin Love has panic attacks. So, I mean, it just, you know, two ways of looking at it. You know, we're going to sit here and be all big macho sports talk guys and go, what a bunch of blah, blah. You know, it's a different world we live in. And I, you know, applaud these guys for having the balls to come out there, sure, and own it, because you're going to get heat. No matter what you do, you know, the guys on Twitter, everything else, social media, oh, yeah, Kevin Love's soft, and he's having panic attacks. Say what you want. I mean, the guys put it out there. Now, I don't know, I mean, if you would see athletes do that, you know, 20, 10, I don't know how many years ago.
Yeah, I just think we can all be tough, but in your most private moments, okay, we've all had that. And you can act tough in front of your friends. You know, you can be what you need to be in at home in front of your wife or your girlfriend. But we've all had those moments. And you're right, Mike. It takes a lot of courage for guys to come out and say, listen, I'm dealing with something. And, you know, because as men, we don't want to admit that.
Well, I mean, you're talking about mental health and your mental state of mind, and there's nothing more mental than a free throw, for instance. Okay, game on the line. Big shot from the arc. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's the equivalent of the 3-foot putt, you know, hitting the free throw in the NBA. But anyway, I mean, whether you look at it one way or the other, I know we're always going to have guys that are open-minded about it, and we'll have our caveman portion of our audience, but it's out there now.
Speaking of Lou, the head coach, he talks about game one. Remember LeBron was like, yeah, he was kind of feeling the Celtics out in game one.
Yeah, and we thought that was a bunch of crap. I mean, it sounded nice. Yeah, I like to have a feel-out game, kind of see where they're coming from, kind of gauge it. Actually, I like to give the opponent two games. I give them two feel-out games, and then I like to make my run. I like to spot them, too, then we make our charge.
Well, they can't do that against the Warriors.
No. The whole team has to be aggressive. You know, we can't use it as a feel-out game. It's the first time that we've come off a seven-game series, you know, and having two days or 3 days in between, you know, to start the game. I think before we had 8 or 9 days every time to kind of settle in, not really, you know, haven't played in a while, but took a little time to get our rhythm.
Was Tyronn Lue on a ham radio from North Korea?
No, actually, it was a tin cup that he was speaking into with a wire connected to it. LeBron James, what about this rivalry, man?
Golden State It's one of the best teams I've ever played. It's one of the best teams that's ever been assembled. And then they added Kevin Durant. So what does that do to him? It even makes him even more dangerous and even more powerful and great. And, you know, and it's just it's for me as a competitor, it's just it's fun to know when I'm done playing a game of basketball, to know I played against some of the greatest teams I ever played. And this is one of them.
He is right about that. Steph Curry, by the way, listen to this, Mike. I don't know if you believe this. He's like, yeah, we're worried about everybody. I mean, you know, everybody concerns us. We're really worried.
We've been watching a little bit of film this morning and trying to figure out how the other guys have kind of fit in around him and where some of their tendencies are. And you look at Game 7, how when they played Boston, you know, the way that Jeff Green played, the way that George Hill kind of managed the game. We'll see if Kevin Love is healthy or not. So there's the guys all around that are threats. But obviously everything starts with LeBron and trying to put up as much resistance as you can. And, you know, when he's on the floor, he's the factor that you got to worry about and try to take the other guys out too.
Man, stop lying. He could have just said, what you worried about, Steph? LeBron. That's it. I mean, all these other guys have to prove it, right?
Jeff Green is averaging 8.3 right now.
He had a big game 7, though, against Boston.
He's a big part of it. You're right.
I mean, but to me, that's really – everybody else has to prove it, you know. And I think that Golden State approaches this sort of like Houston did with Durant. If LeBron goes for 40 a game, it doesn't matter if these other guys don't do their jobs.
But that's the one that you and I were talking about earlier. If you guys caught the – if you missed the beginning of the segment, we were saying that Kyle Korver's got to be consistent with the three and J.R. Smith. You got to have some consistency from those guys because J.R. Smith has just been too much of a wild card for them. And then the other guy, can Tristan Thompson step up?
That's the big – that's a big one too because you're going to have to – and I don't know if they put – I think Draymond's going to guard Love. But you've got to neutralize Draymond on the glass. I mean, if you're going to win this series. Mm-hmm. Speaking of nerves, Klay Thompson said he's a little nervous, believe it or not.
I know right when I get on the court, there'll be some nerves the first couple minutes. That's natural. It's been like that for every series I've ever played in. But you shake it off after the first couple minutes and realize it's a game you've been doing your whole life and you're here for a reason.
Okay. Warriors in four?
Yeah. After all that, after we just try to pump up the Cavs, I'm going to say, yeah, Warriors in five. I'll give you one. No, one listen. At home, one in Cleveland, one in Cleveland.
I do too. I think that actually, I'm going to give them two games. Call me crazy.
Oh.
I'm going to give them two games.
Oh, we might have to put a.
I'm going
to
give them two games.
Put a box of CD on that, Joe.
Huh?
I'm going to put some money on that, buddy.
I'm going to give them two games. Come on, I just want to see a decent series.
This is going to go six games?
Can I see a decent series?
We just laid out the tomato cans that LeBron is shooting up with, and you're telling me this is going six?
Bums. Busters.
Wow.
Busters, let's be honest. But can I get a pretty decent series? Give me six games. Let me at least enjoy a couple of weeks of ball. If it goes four games.
Mm-hmm. Hey, man, all I want to do is, as a Hawks fan, I just want to see what we're going to get. I'm just going to assume Golden State wins the title, and I want to see what we're going to get in this draft.
Now, that I agree with.
Now, if you guys, you missed the show on Tuesday when I got back. I was in Europe for vacation with the wife, and one of the
The French Riviera. Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Please, you know, I'm just moving along. Just moving the storyline along. Yes, if you must know, I was in the French, amongst other locations.
Five-star hotel. Go ahead.
French Riviera. But anyway, I was talking to, amongst
yachts.
Other things, I was across from a yacht, okay? On a yacht. But the point is, the guys we spoke to, a lot of servers, restaurant people, guys that are big sports fans, we start talking about what I do for a living. We start yapping. And I go, well, you guys watch any hoop? And the guys that did, not everybody did. And it's amazing how many guys don't watch soccer over there. They like rugby. They like other stuff. But some of the dudes and the dudettes we talked to said Luka Doncic will be okay, but he will not be a star. And these are guys that watch. I mean, I take them at their word. I tip the guy 20%. He better give me some good information. And then, by the way,
make the American feel good.
Nobody ever their tips. If you tip, you're like a rock star. But anyway, yeah, they said that
Doncic's garbage. Poo.
Yeah,
he tips well.
He is met. Yes. But the vibe being that he's a good complimentary piece, but not the guy. At least from five out of six servers Mike talked to, did not like Luka Doncic taking his game to the NBA.
Yeah, I even passed that information on the Duke Stone. I'm not going to lie. I said five out of six servers.
Now, one guy says he's going to be the next. He said that he passes like Sabonis. Now, he's not Sabonis' size.
Sure.
Because Sabonis was 7 feet on bad knees when he got here. But he says can shoot it like Drazen Petrovic,
okay.
Which you and I have talked about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he can play point guard. He can basically play three positions for you.
Wow. You taking him at three?
If you like him.
You taking him at three?
Yeah. But that guy, I got to be honest with you, yeah, he was the best waiter.
See, that's what I'm talking about. The American tips well. All right, man, we're coming back. Yeah, man, no, man. All right, we're moving it up today because our man Brian Jordan is going to join us at 4:40. We got to talk about the dogs and what's going on, by the way. Some new news coming out of the spring meetings we will explain. We're also talking about the toughest three-game stretch for the Dogs. We'll get into all of that. But coming up next, it's Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man on Dukes and Bell. We provide answers to several rapid-fire questions for the world of sports and entertainment. It's sometimes a surprise question. Here's today's question number one.
All right, coming up in 15 minutes, more about what's going on at the SEC spring meetings and the Dogs' toughest three-game stretch in 2018. We'll get to that and a story about our brew. But first, it's Yeah Man, No Man.
All right, guys. Let's start off with the story that you guys, I know we've all talked about. It's been a little hot topic. Demarius Randall, the Browns safety. You know, he tweeted the I'll buy everyone jerseys if the Cavs win, right? Well, it got quite a bit of retweets. And in fact, he had over 924,000 retweets, which at $99.99 for each jersey would mean he'd be spending over a little bit roughly over $77 million in jerseys. And I think since this was written, it actually went to $90 million in jerseys. So he's now put out a response saying, hey, you know, I was just kidding. I didn't think that it would get over 100 retweets, to be honest.
So how about you buy jerseys for the first 100 people? And then we can say you're not a bum. How about that, Carl?
Yeah, I you've got to do
something.
That's
fair, right?
You've got to pay off something when you put it out there like this. And then you realize, oh, I stepped in it. You got to pay it off. Not the entire thing, because listen, he doesn't have 77
million.
He's not a star,
and he's not even if he was a star, that's a lot of loot.
It's a lot of.
But I mean, if I was the guy, I mean, one way to save a little bit of like guys are going to bust your jobs, but to save a little face, if you thought only 100 people going to retweet, then buy 100 jerseys and be done with it.
Well, the real question for me is, do you believe a guy who has 149,000 followers and is in the city of Cleveland really believed he'd only get 100 retweets?
No, it's complete crap. But I mean, it's where he's spinning it right now, so he's just trying to put a. Put a smiley face on. Band-aid on the situation, if you will.
No man.
No man.
Well, people of, excuse me, speaking of people that I know Mike loves, Mike Greenberg, newest show Get Up.
I'm gonna punch him in the head.
Which also has Jalen Rose and Michelle Beadle.
Nothing against those two.
Not Michelle, anyways. So, obviously, we all know that the ratings have been less than what ideal, I guess, to say, for the big brass up at ESPN. So, ESPN was speaking, and I believe Michael McCarthy of the Sporting News did the article. And he was told by ESPN executive Connor Schell that, look, they're eyeing September 6th for ratings to do an uptick. Because guess what? What happens in football season? It's the biggest season for sports talk of any kind, and that's when the ratings kind of go up.
Yeah, even though ours is pretty good. Go ahead.
Well, look, here at 92.9, we're ahead of the game.
Right on, brother.
So basically, they're saying they're going to add a fourth person.
What?
Yeah, that's the rumor. Possible candidates include Ryan Clark, Damian Woody, and Booger McFarland.
So in other words, they're going to add a black guy.
Well, they already have.
A football player.
Oh, my bad.
Jalen Rose, last I checked.
Why not let Jalen take a break and bring a football guy in during football season and basketball season, bring Jalen back?
Yeah, listen, I've watched the show. I asked Mike, and I really hadn't watched it. I watched it now, I think, twice. I've attempted to watch from the time I get up. I don't get up whenever it's – I think it's on at 6, right? 6 to 9 or something like that. Anyways, 7 to 9. All right.
Whenever it's on.
Yeah, I caught literally about an hour of it.
Mm-hmm.
And – I liked it better when it was Mike and Mike.
Okay. Yeah, and by the way, we're huge.
That's all it is.
And I'm a huge – we like Trey Wingo. Trey, when ESPN doesn't yell at him for coming on our show because we're not in the ESPN station, Trey's a great guy. And him and Goal again, exactly great radio either right now because it's just it's a different dynamic.
Well, that's because Golick's son has just been thrown in the mix because of nepotism, and that's what happens when your daddy pulls strings.
Yeah. I mean,
sounds personal, Bill.
There's a lot of stuff going on at ESPN right now. ESPN's executives claim not $1 has been lost over all these ratings drops that apparently have been hitting them over these changes they've made in the last 6 months.
I will say this, and I've always been a Michelle Beadle fan. I think Michelle does a really good job. She, to me, kind of carries the show, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I mean, but we'll see what happens. So the date is what? September
6th.
And then are they going to cancel after that?
No. They're just going to – then it will actually start costing ESPN money because they'll have to add a person to the show.
Okay.
So and maybe then, they're right.
By the way, they're paying a lot of money for that show. Just.
But here's the thing. You know, you and I have talked about this a million times. And, guys, you can always sound off on our Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. Same number to call it at 404-741-0929. This is Bo doing his version of, yeah, man, we're calling it like, yeah, buddy. No, man. But real quick, Carl. Is it because millennials or just people's ADD, you can't just give me a sports center with all the highlights of all the things that happened the previous night? I mean, I know they do that over there. I mean, why do you have to give me the dog and pony show and the opinions? Just give me the headlines. Give me the stuff that I want.
Yeah, listen.
I put Scott Van Pelt on during the day. Get him off the night show.
Well, I do love Van Pelt, and he's solid. That show is on at midnight. Again, remember now, it used to be the overnight sports center show that was the show, and then you get that in the morning, the replays. Mike, I just think that they've done the research and they feel like that Good Morning America Today type show appeals to the masses and you're going to get more eyes. I don't necessarily know if it's true. Here's what I think. If the show is entertaining and good and the hosts are good, okay, and I'm not saying Greeny isn't. He's done a great job with his career. But I think you got to find the right mix, and that's what I think they're trying to do, Bo, by bringing in another guy is, you know, they need to find that right mix that I don't think necessarily they feel like they've got yet.
So, this story is interesting, and cockroach milk has, cockroaches have milk, apparently.
I did not know that.
And a recent study says that it could have more protein in it than cow's milk.
I'm not drinking it.
I'm going to pass it. No, that's a no, man. That's no a man. Hell no.
No,
hell
I'm not drinking it. I'm not drinking it. And by
the
way
Steve Coonan fed us crickets that day. They had cricket chips one day down at Phillips Arena where we were doing the show.
He fooled us.
And those are high in protein as well, but I'll pass on that.
No, I'm not drinking cockroaches milk, okay? And by the way, I just killed one by the – these damn things fly. You know that?
Well, those are different types.
Who cares? It was like, quaw, quaw. It's flying across the room.
Is it Mesozoic?
It was that damn big. I almost got afraid of it. It was that big. I was like, hey, somebody hit it. So I knocked it down, and then, by the way, is it just me? You can't kill these, and you step on it, it won't die.
Because they've built up an immune system, or they've built up
to being stepped on?
No, to everything we can, the bug spray, everything. No joke, in New York City with VJ, we had the place in Manhattan, I dropped a fire extinguisher on a cockroach, and that thing kept coming in the elevator.
Whew.
It's like a damn zombie movie.
Yeah,
anyway,
so
back
after,
to you,
after
Squid,
seeing
no.
that roach, or whatever it was, yeah. No to the cockroaches.
That's a
milk.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Did any milk come out when you squished it?
Disgusting. That's disgusting.
Yeah, was your dog looking up the cockroach?
No,
milk?
I was just trying to get rid of it.
Yuck.
Mike, that was a great little transition there with your terminology about Ghost Rider. Mm. Speaking of which, making his second straight appearance in Hey Man, No Man, or whatever we're calling it when I do it, Tom Cruise posted on Instagram yesterday a picture of Lieutenant Pete Mitchell with his helmet and said, it said in an element, feel the need. So,
I mean, shouldn't he be an admiral by now, Carl? Or should he be the captain of a ship? Why is he got? You tell me Maverick is still, you know what? He won't play by the rules. He's a wild card. So flies by the seat of his pants.
You're telling me there's going to be a Top Gun 2?
Well, it's been rumored for 3 years now. And on this post, it said hashtag day one. So it's kind of leading you to believe that yesterday was the first day of filming. And by the way,
what's the premise?
Well, remember at the end of the first one,
it's a new generation of guys, and he'll be the Tom Skerritt character.
Okay,
so he'll be like Viper.
Okay,
and I hope the Jester's still around because I love that guy, Michael Ironside.
Yeah,
he's a wild card, flies by the seat of his pants.
Yeah,
got
he'll
you,
have
though.
He'll have his oxygen tank on when he rolls over there.
Oh, by the way,
I was going to say, how old is he now?
Yeah, by the way, reprising her role, then it won't have Kelly McGillis. They're going to have former Buffalo Bill Bryce Pop.
And they look one and the same these days.
Yeah, so there'll be some young, hot, attractive actress.
And you'll have a Navy, there'll be a female pilot.
Okay.
And she'll be, you know what, that's what they'll probably do with Hollywood. The new Maverick will be a lady. It'll be a female aviator.
Okay.
I'm already writing the script.
I was going to say, now, that's and not then, true. We don't know any of this. We're just, this is hyperbole.
And then
here.
Tom
just,
will have to get,
going
as
on,
opposed
on
to being the
tangent.
Instructor, Tom will have to go back to fly off the aircraft carrier and yada, yada, yada.
All right.
And
by
maybe
the
there'll
way,
be a ghost of goose.
Some things don't need part two.
You're darn right they don't.
Top Gun is one of them. We don't need part two, okay? Yeah. Just Top Gun is Top Gun.
And by the way, what about poor Val Kilmer, too? He's had some health issues, too.
All right.
No Iceman.
Interesting. We'll see what happens. By the way, Cruise has a new summer movie coming out. I think it's Mission Impossible 80. It's coming out. I saw the previews when I went and saw Solo.
Right.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm being serious. I don't know what – it's like Mission Impossible 9 or something like that. I don't know which one it is. You know, no, he does. He does.
He's serious. It actually
I give Tom Cruise all the credit in the world for doing the stunt where he's on the outside of the plane on that last one. That's pretty amazing. That was pretty neat.
Yeah. If I'm at his level, I'm not doing any stunts. We're coming back. We'll talk about the dogs and a lot more.
Amazing if you could find the Scientology guy's wife.
More about the Braves coming up as they start a big series with the Nationals guys and more on the Falcons as well. It's all on the way here on Dukes and Bell.
Fitner's report says it all. He's a wild card. Flies by the seat of his pants. Completely unpredictable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.